Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, we wrap up Gettysburg Preview Week with Bill Federer, and Clayton Van Hus will discover foundational truths with Israel Wayne. Friends, I have a special announcement. Right now, through Monday, all hotel bookings made through our host hotel, the Wyndham Gettysburg, will include one free general admission ticket to our three-day Prophecy in the News live event. Additionally, guests with a confirmed room reservation will receive a free copy of Bill Federer's new book, Silence Equals Consent, and an exclusive discount on all resources purchased on site during the event. Book your hotel room today at our host hotel and receive a free admission ticket, a free copy of Bill Federer's new book, and a special discount card that can be used all weekend at the event. Take advantage of this special offer. It's going on right now through Monday. Visit SWRC.com and click on the red Prophecy in the News Live banner at the top of the homepage, or call 1-800-652-1144. Now, here's Ministry President Dr. Kenneth Hill with a very special guest.
God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Hi there, my friend. This is Kenneth Hill, president of Southwest Radio Ministries, and I am delighted to be with you and to have as my guest Bill Federer. Bill, you've got a new book, Silence Equals Consent, The Sin of Omission. We're going to talk about that. Welcome to our microphones.
Well, Kenneth, it's great to be with you.
We want to talk specifically about what's going to go on in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, October 17th, 18th, and 19th of this year. Folks can find out about it and can register for it at swrc.com or by calling 1-800-652-1144. And this is Prophecy in the News Live in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And so you are going to be a featured guest for the VIP luncheon. Congratulations, Bill Federer.
Well, I'm honored. It's always a thrill. It's wonderful, wonderful time and great people. And I just encourage all the listeners to come.
Well, we do too. And we want them to have an insight as to what you're going to be talking about there from this brand new book, Silence Equals Consent. It sounds sort of ominous when you start thinking about it.
Right. Well, I go through world history, and the most common form of government is kings, and the kingdoms keep getting bigger because with the latest military advancements, kings can kill more people. So you have Nimrod, Pharaoh, Caesars, Kaisers, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Attila the Hun. Until they come up to King of England, he was a globalist. He was a one-world government guy. And America's founders wanted to break away, and they flipped it, and they made the people the king. Where did America's founders get their idea? From the Bible? What part of the Bible? Well, the first 400 years out of Egypt before King Saul. So they looked back to this period where you had millions of Israelites come out of Egypt, and for four centuries, there's no king. It's called the Hebrew Republic, and it's the book of Judges in the Bible. But we don't appreciate how unique that period was, that the whole rest of the world is kings and pharaohs, and here you have millions of Israelites and no king, and it worked because everybody was taught the law and personally accountable to God to follow it. And so this is what the reformers, John Calvin and the other ones, looked to as the model of how to have a government without a king. They came to America, and we literally had churches founding cities. So Roger Williams and the First Baptist Church in America founded a city, Providence, Rhode Island. And Reverend Thomas Hooker and his First Congregationalist Church in America founded a city, Hartford, Connecticut. And so everybody's involved in church, and everybody's involved in city government because it's the church founding the city. There's like no non-church members tagging along to be lazy and let them run stuff. Every single government leader is a church member because it's the church founding the city. And so they would have one building in town called the Meeting House, and that's where the pastor would teach the Bible, and that's where they would do their city business. The revolution starts, and the British send over a military governor, Thomas Gage, and he outlaws meeting houses. We don't need the people meeting. You just obey government mandates. And we're like, no, nothing happens in America unless we give our consent. Turns into a revolutionary war, and we win. And so we set up a government where it's we the people. We get the idea from these New England pastors who got their idea from the Bible, what part of the Bible, that first 400 years out of Egypt before King Saul. Now, why is this important? Romans 13, and that's the verse that says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. And Romans 13 is understood differently in a monarchy versus a republic. In a monarchy, subjects submit to the king. In a republic, the citizens are the king. The politicians are your servants, public servants. You hire them, you fire them. They do what you tell them to do. This is important, right? Kings of Europe wanted a theocracy. You had to believe what they told you to believe, or they're going to cancel you, get you to lose your job and put you in a January 6th prison and burn you at the stake, right? They wanted dominionism. Well, our founders wanted freedomism. They wanted to be able to believe and worship God as the Lord puts it on their heart and according to scriptures. And King Saul's the divider between America and England, right? The kings of England looked to the Bible, but they looked to the King Saul and on. Founders of America looked to the pre-King Saul period. And so that's the 1600s where we come up with this covenant form of government, and it keeps growing and growing. And guess what? The word federal is Latin for covenant. We have a covenant form of government where we, the people, rule ourselves bottom up versus some king or president ruling through mandates top down. And it worked for four centuries in ancient Israel until the priests stopped teaching the law and every man did what's right in their own eyes, turns into chaos and they get a king. So that's why we're concerned, because if we get rid of the law and get rid of God, we're going to have chaos. And then everybody's going to say, we need some leader to restore order. And that's when you're going to have some government leaders say, well, we'll restore order. We just need some emergency powers. And once you give them, they never give them back. I contrast the 1600s with the 1700s. After a century, the Puritans got a little dry, and they were plan-focused. And they taught Yale and Harvard, God's got a plan for your life, your marriage, your family, church, your government. Find out what the plan is, put it into place. It was great, but to some, it was not only a plan, it was only a plan, and it became academic. They got a little spiritual dry. And some took it the next step and said, well, God, in his infinite wisdom, already knows who's going to wind up in heaven, so don't even bother preaching the gospel. And they became unevangelistic, and that's why they got nicknamed Old Lights. David Brainerd got expelled from Yale because he said his professor was as spiritual as a chair. And so in the 1700s, you had the New Lights. So they said it's more than a plan. It's a personal experience with Jesus. And when you have this experience, your life will change and you won't do worldly things anymore, like bars and brothels and government. Wait, what was that last thing? Yeah, government. We decided it's worldly. So if you're really Christian, you're not going to be involved. Huh. Well, that's a little different than an entire century where everybody's involved in church and everybody's involved in government. Like, yeah, don't be involved in government anymore because it's worldly. So that's where you get this idea where you hear pastors saying, well, our church is a little more spiritual than your church because we don't get involved in politics. We just preach the gospel. We are so spiritual, we don't even care what kind of country we're leaving our kids, right? And so we got to unpack where the Pietists came from. In Germany, Martin Luther had a personal experience with Jesus, the just shall live by faith. But some German princes have been waiting for a chance to break from Rome, and they go, this is my chance, kingdom of mine, I just decided you're all Lutherans. And the people are like, okay, great, we're Lutheran. What do we believe? So for the people in the kingdom, it's not necessarily the same personal experience Martin Luther had. So a revival movement starts called Pietism that said being a Christian is more than doctrine, even if it's good doctrine. You have to have an experience with Jesus. When you do, your life will change, and you won't do worldly things like bars, brothels, and government. Turned into the German concept of the two kingdoms. The kingdom of the government, the kingdom of the church, the two don't touch. So where the Puritan said you can do both church stuff and state stuff, right? You can be a spouse, you can be a parent, right? One person can do two things. But these Pietists said, no, if you're real spiritual, you're going to withdraw from the government. Well, that brings up an interesting scenario, because if all the spiritual people withdraw from government, who's left to be involved but the less spiritual? And they're going to yield to their ambitions and become power-hungry and tyrants. It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. Don't get involved in government because it's worldly. Well, why is it worldly? Because we're not involved in government. And so four centuries of that two-kingdom concept in Germany allowed Hitler to seize power, put Jews on train cars. They're going right past the church crying for help, and the church's response was, well, that's the government killing the Jews, and we're the church. We can't get involved in government stuff because we're holy, so let's just sing praise songs louder. It's like, can anybody see there's something wrong with that picture? And I think God is intentionally pushing us to this point. He's letting the evil be exposed, and he's watching us. Are we going to give our silent consent to it, or are we going to say, okay, I stretched the rubber band, but I can't stretch it anymore. I'm going to take a stand.
Bill Federer, and it's silence equals consent, the sin of omission. Bill, this book sounds like it's for our time, and I think your special time together with the VIP group at lunch at the Gettysburg Conference will be exactly what we need, brother. Thank you so much.
Look forward to being there, and I encourage everyone to come.
We're looking forward to you being there as well, because I'm wanting to hear this in detail. The Gettysburg Conference is October 17th through the 19th, and you can find out more about it at swrc.com. 1-800-652-1144 is the phone number.
Prophecy in the News Live comes to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania for 3 full days, October 17th through the 19th. A dozen speakers focusing on Bible prophecy, the rise of the one world system, and biblical mysteries. Right now through Monday, all hotel bookings made through our host hotel, the Wyndham Gettysburg, will include a free general admission ticket to our Prophecy in the News Live event. Additionally, guests with a confirmed room reservation will receive a free copy of Bill Federer's new book, Silence Equals Consent, and an exclusive discount on all resources purchased on site during the event. So book your hotel room today at our host hotel and receive a free admission ticket, a free copy of Bill Federer's new book, and a special discount card that can be used all weekend. Take advantage of this special offer taking place right now through Monday. Visit swrc.com and click on the red Prophecy in the News Live banner at the top of the homepage, or simply call 1-800-652-1144. Prophecy in the News Live, Gettysburg, October 17th through the 19th. Register today. From Affirm Apologetics, here is Clayton Van Hus.
I'm so glad you joined us today on the Watchman on the Wall program. I am your host, Clayton Van Hus, the director of Affirm, the apologetics branch of Southwest Radio Ministries. And we're very excited today to be joined by a guest who is involved in several different ministries. Israel Wayne is our guest today. Israel, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Clayton. It's great to be on your show.
Interestingly, I've been looking at some of the things that you've been doing. We want to know more about you. You're an author, you're a conference speaker, an apologist, you're into homeschooling. Tell us about some of the ministries you work with.
Well, I've been working in Christian publishing in many different facets for over 30 years now. My wife and I have been married a little over 25 years. One thing that makes us a little unique is we have a larger than average family size. We actually have 11 children. That's exciting, and we're moving towards becoming grandparents soon. So, really thankful for the season that the Lord has placed us in. And so the concept of discipling our children and helping to equip them with a biblical worldview is one that's very important to me. I just see the statistics of how we're losing so many churched youth who are walking away from the beliefs that they were raised in their churches and Christian homes. And we really want to provide resources and training and equipping for parents and grandparents to help them to be able to successfully pass the baton of faith to the next generation.
Wow, that is something. And what you said about the young people walking away, I've noticed you've done some work with Answers in Genesis. And of course, they're very involved in working with kids in an apologetics way. If you go to the Ark Encounter, you see the room that's got all the little coloring books and things, and it's teaching that we need to teach that Bible history is real, that the Bible is not a book of fairy tales. Quite often, our young people, when they are questioned on this, they'll question themselves, they'll question the Bible, and they'll walk away. I think it's very interesting that's something you're looking at here.
Yeah, I was just reading some statistics yesterday. Of course, I read a lot of the research from Dr. George Barna and others. And one of the things that we've seen over and over that really helps to keep young people in the faith is when they are trained with Christian apologetics, which, of course, is a defense of the Christian faith. And so when they're given good answers to the difficult questions, we find that makes a significant difference. So I've actually produced like a Bible doctrine theology curriculum for high school. I have resources for parents and Our ministry is called Family Renewal, so we really try to focus on the whole range of the family to help equip them to be able to defend the Christian faith, but also to think, not just think biblically, but live biblically as well.
Right. You practice homeschooling, and you're involved in homeschooling. Tell us a little bit about your work there.
Well, my mother was actually one of the founders of the modern day homeschooling movement. She started homeschooling my older sister and myself in 1978. Well over 45 years ago, she began this project. And so I was homeschooled. My wife was homeschooled. Her family started in 1983. We were basically entirely homeschooled. And then we have homeschooled all of our 11 children from birth. And, you know, what that does is it gives us the context of time. Because I really think time is the most significant force and influence. If we want to influence the life of our child, we have to be there for them and we have to spend more time with them than anyone else. And unfortunately, it just seems like so many children are kind of being raised outside the home or raised with devices and social media and entertainment and so forth. And, you know, the average parent now, it says, the U.S. government says that the average mom spends an hour a day with her child. And the average dad is only 29 minutes a day. And so we really see that buying back time is really important for influence. And so that helps us to be able to have that time for influence.
Right. That is so important. I noticed you've done some writing for the Old Schoolhouse magazine.
Yes. I've been a columnist for a number of homeschooling publications, including that one. And actually, the publisher that publishes my books, Master Books, they are a creation publisher. They publish a lot of books by Ken Ham and other people at Answers in Genesis. They do a lot of apologetics books. But they're now developing a full K through 12 biblical worldview Christian curriculum for students, which is really exciting because when I was being educated, we had Christian curriculum, which I was very thankful for. But I noticed some of the newer publishers are really putting apologetics intentionally into the academic books as well and trying to give a biblical view of science and history and even mathematics and be able to help us to think biblically about every subject at every grade level. And so it's really exciting to see groups like Master Books doing that.
Oh, that is great. I love whenever we get the list from Master Books, what's new, what's coming out. That's good stuff. The publishers of the Old Schoolhouse are Paul and Gina Suarez. They are members of my church here in Tennessee, and they are lovely people, very serious about serving the Lord and the work that's going on. So that is really cool.
Yeah, we've had a chance to work with them quite a bit. In fact, Paul and I were at the Southern Baptist Convention, I think it was last year, handing out hundreds of copies of a book that I wrote called Education, Does God Have an Opinion? To pastors to hopefully encourage them to think about the necessity that we have of and the opportunity that we have of giving Christian children a truly Christian education.
Oh, that is great. So you've authored a number of books. And of course, today we're going to be talking about Foundational Truths, a Modern Catechism. But tell us about some of the other works that you've done.
8 or 9 years ago, I was on this radio network talking about a couple of books that I published that were a little more theological called Questions God Asks and Questions Jesus Asks. Questions God Asks was based on 19 different questions that God asked people in the Old Testament. Questions Jesus Asked was 20 questions that Jesus asked people in the New Testament. So it was like 39 different Bible doctrine questions that were explored through the questions God asked and questions Jesus asked. It's a very unique approach to Bible study. And then I've written a couple parenting books. One is called Raising Them Up, Parenting for Christians, which is about how to pass on our faith and disciple our children. And then my wife and I wrote one called Pitching a Fit, Overcoming Angry and Stressed Out Parenting, which is one of the biggest struggles that we see with Christian parents today, that they say, I just deal so much with stress and anger as it relates to relating to my child. And I know it's destructive, but I don't know how to stop doing it. And so that book is actually our bestseller, I think, because of the relevance that parents feel with that particular issue. And then, as I said, I wrote that book, Education, Does God Have an Opinion? And then another book called Answers for Homeschooling, which is really just trying to answer the top objections that people raise against homeschooling. What about socialization? And shouldn't our children be in public school to be salt and light and all those things? But to do it with research as well as scripture.
Wow. These are highly important topics that you're covering here. And this that we're going to be talking about today, this foundational truth, the modern catechism, It excites me very much. A number of years ago, of course, we had the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, well, at least of Martin Luther's actions. I was privileged to be involved in a documentary film about the incident. In the process, I spent some time talking with a very conservative Lutheran pastor, and he gave me a copy of Luther's Small Catechism. I was amazed at that, because catechism is a word that many Protestants don't use. What is a catechism?
Catechism simply is a question and answer format of teaching or communicating information from one person to another. So really, anytime you're teaching by asking questions of an individual, you're engaging in a process of catechism. Probably the most common thing that I've heard since I wrote this Confessional Truths book is, oh, catechism, isn't that something Catholic? Mm-hmm. And actually, as you mentioned, Martin Luther wrote the first Protestant catechism, and virtually every Protestant denomination, including Baptists, have used the catechism over the centuries until really about 1900. Some of them started to use more of their denominational Sunday school publishers' materials,
right,
and kind of moved away from the historic approach of teaching with this question and answer format. But we feel that there's a lot of value in that approach. And so we wanted to create a modern catechism, because while those historic catechisms are great, and we kind of drew from many of them, some of them were written 400 years ago. And so the language is a little archaic. And so we wanted to be able to make it simpler and just easier for especially young children and high school students. You know, it's really for the whole family, but for them to be able to understand what's being asked in the questions with simplified language.
Right. And I like on the cover, it says, answering the essential questions of Christianity. And that's what you're doing. You're getting to the roots with this book, aren't you?
Exactly. So we took 52 of what we consider to be the most essential Bible doctrine questions. And then our goal was to answer it directly from Scripture itself. Like, we have a list of scriptures right next to every question and answer. And within the answers, we have color-coded which scriptures we've drawn from for the wording of that answer. So as much as possible, we're kind of trying to pull from the wording of Scripture and then paraphrase it into a synthesized answer, so that it's not just a person's opinion answering these Bible doctrine questions, but it's actually saying this is how the Bible itself would seek to answer each one of these questions.
Right. I'm fascinated by the structure in this book. As I look at the pages, they are simple to understand. They are easy to read. They are, like you said, they're color-coded verses that give the answer to the question. And it's structured in a very interesting way. I like how you have given 52 questions. So every week, you can study on these simple, well, they're not really simple questions, but questions that people have, but that you answer straightforward and in an easy-to-understand manner. So how did you come up with, let's do one a week?
Well, we were thinking that some churches may want to use it. It used to be that churches used these for their Sunday school classes, for new believers classes, for, you know, lots of different applications within the church. And so we thought this would be a great way for us to be able to pick one a week. And a family could do that process of one a week, or could go through it faster. I took my family through the catechism, and we went through it in a couple of months, where we were just taking a question, a little, you know, a question a day, but we'd spend a couple of days on a few of them just to discuss it. And there's a way to be able to memorize the answers, questions and answers, if you want to. And we even have a shortened version that's on like the backside of the, so there's like four pages per lesson. And on page three, we give like a shortened answer for children. So they can just give like a simple one-line answer to each one of these Bible doctrine questions.
This is amazing. So the book is Foundational Truths, a Modern Catechism. The author, Israel Wayne, we're talking today. Israel, we were just talking about the structure of the book. Who is this book written for? Is it for children? Is it for adults? Or is it for a multitude? Who's your audience on this?
Well, when we first pulled it together, my prime target was families, that families would sit together in the living room. And, you know, I was doing this with my adult daughter, who still lives at home, all the way down to my 3-year-old. And so the whole family was participating together. But I asked the publisher, let's please, when we design this, not make it childish. Mm-hmm. Let's make this something that that adults can use in a church format. And my church actually has a jail ministry outreach, and we're using it in the jail ministry because there are new believers. There are new converts who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ in the jail, and they don't know the basic answers to the Bible doctrine questions. And so because this isn't designed in a childish format, it works very well for new believers as well. So there's a lot of flexibility and adaptability from churches to evangelistic outreach to families, which was really, you know, my bullseye, if you will, of who I was really hoping to target with the project.
Oh, that is great. So, Israel, if our listeners want to know more about you, where can they go to learn more?
Our website is familyrenewal.org, familyrenewal.org. If they're interested in learning about my speaking, they can go to my name, israelwayne.com. So it's familyrenewal.org, israelwayne.com. And then I have a Christian apologetics website as well. It's christianworldview.net. So they all have different endings. It's familyrenewal.org, israelwayne.com, christianworldview.net. That'd be a great way for people to plug in. And they can get copies of the book signed by me, actually, from our familyrenewal.org website.
Oh, that is very cool. Israel, we thank you so much for joining us today. Our guest is Israel Wayne, the author of Foundational Truths, A Modern Catechism. Israel, thank you once again.
Thank you, brother.
Foundational Truths by Israel Wayne is a guide to the core tenets of Christianity. This modern Bible study resource is uniquely designed to guide individuals, families, and small groups into a deeper understanding of the Scriptures. The question and answer format provides a structured way to explore biblical truths in a way that safeguards you and your family from adopting unbiblical teachings and cultural ideas. Author Israel Wayne provides 52 weekly lessons in a format that leads individuals to a more profound and purposeful life with God at the center. Order Foundational Truths today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order your copy of Foundational Truths at our website. Visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.